Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Coaching Conversations. This is your life and host, Sean Chakowski. Or coach, Sean Chakowski. And together I have Money Visco again. And August, I think your line is echoing, so you may want to try to find a different line. Okay, are we all together, guys?
Okay. Yep, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
We had a little technical difficulty, but we're all on the air together. Welcome back, guys. And today we are going to talk about conscious parenting. Before we roll into that, I want to just give out our lines. Money, August, myself can be found at wnylifecoaching.com. Our phone number to be reached directly is 716-560-6552. So we welcome, also we want to put it out there, we welcome anyone who is curious about what we do, have any questions or comments. If you want to contact any of us, please, by all means, go either through the website again, which is wnylifecoaching.com, or you can reach us at 716-560-6552. So crew, how are we this week?
Doing pretty well.
Thank you.
Awesome. So I think it's always ironic. We always, you know, how we format our show, we pick up topics and, you know, collaboratively, whatever, you know, comes to us, we pick. And I think Money suggested principles of conscious parenting. And life seems to always happen in lieu of these topics. So I got some things to share about this. But today what we're going to talk about is really the idea of conscious parenting. And I know it can go, it's pretty dynamic, the topic. I know I was looking at articles, and there's so many ways of looking at conscious parenting, but we're going to share. We have three of us on the air. We all are parents. I am a parent of three boys, 13, 12, and 8. August, your son is in spirit, correct, right? Can you tell us about your?
Yes, correct.
Okay, yep. And Money, you are a mom. I don't want to talk for you guys. You want to share your parenting?
I have two children. My daughter is 17, and my son is 14, but he'll be 15 at the end of August.
Okay, awesome. So we have different perspectives, which I think is great. You know, Money has a, I think your boys are a little bit older, and I have a teenager, and I have, you know, still a elementary grade, and August, you share a beautiful side of parenting. You have one that is with us in spirit. So let's talk. I guess the principles of conscious parenting, and, you know, we have a few articles, and there's a statement that I think can get us going, and they say conscious parenting is not a set of rules for parents to follow, but a set of beliefs about what children need to develop and thrive. Oof, okay. And, you know, in our world of so many different ways of being, you know, that can mean lots to lots of people. So I think we're going to explore. You guys up for it?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, let me ask you this, guys. When you hear the word conscious parenting, what pops in your mind? Before the articles and... You know, before we started doing a little research on the topic.
I mean, for me, it's just parenting with awareness, with greater awareness of what a child needs to, you know, thrive.
Thrive, need, thrive. Yeah. What about you, August? Is he there? Hello?
I don't know. Oh.
August? We might have lost August. August, are you there? Okay, but we'll continue. We may have lost him for a second, but conscious parenting. I know what comes, you know, the first word that comes to me, and then, you know, and actually reading some of these, I have to agree with you, Money, with the awareness. I think... Yeah, there was a transitional point in my life with my parenting, and I can't really say exactly where it came from. But I think for a while back, you know, I thought to be the parent, it was to get my kid into the right programs, you know, make sure he has the right friends, you know, make sure, you know, like, you know, very expectational, if that makes any sense, even on myself. And then I think putting these expectations on myself and then actually putting them on my child. I think in my yoga training, that maybe where it was when I'm a kids yoga teacher and a beautiful teacher I had, Joy, I'm going to say her name wrong, but she taught me something very different. And again, it was more how I learned it was through the energy that we vibrate to our children. Whether it's the words we say or our intentions with them, but that made me open my eyes that to be a good parent, it's almost, you know, it is a connection with your child. That's for me. That's how I conscious parenting is being, you know, there's some, help me guys here. It's more than the tasks and duties that, you know, my child is to help them be the best they are, you know, instead of going out there. And it made me look from the, instead of the outside in, from the inside out. So that's my little blurb, if anyone out there understands my course of thinking there. But it just made me realize that to be a good parent, really, and for me, and this is, I'm going to speak from my heart, but what my job is to just give love to my child, you know. Mm-hmm. And right. A lot of the expectations, you know, if my kid stumbles, I think I've done shows on this. We were talking about the helicopter parents and the beta parents. Mm-hmm. But, you know, our child is going to go in this course of life. There's a path for them. And, you know, I want to, you know, hopefully allow them to have their own journey, but yet, you know, experience that journey with them. So, that, you know, take that. You guys have anything to add to that? Or question me on?
No, I mean, I agree. I think it is just to love your child and to not project, because I think, you know, the realization that your child is not an extension of you is really important, because we kind of expect our child sometimes to be like us, and sometimes it's the kids that are not like, you know, some kids, maybe one of your kids are more like you, and so you kind of maybe have less conflict with that child, but, you know, it's not like one is right or wrong. It just happens to be that way. And so if you understand that, like, okay, this child is not like me, but I have to honor who they are, that's sometimes difficult to do. But it's really important to let them, you know.
Be their authentic expression of who they are. Yes. You nailed it, Moni, because I do have three very unique, different children, and each of their qualities, some you know, really represent my husband's. You know, like they're very like, oh, you're so your father, and again, but it's working, you know, allowing them to thrive in their own being. I think, when I say it, I get goosebumps, but it's hard, because I think in parenting. And maybe this is where I got trapped. You know, you're comparing yourself to the other parent. You know, am I doing it right? Or, you know, their kids, they're getting better grades. You know, and then you fall into that different way of processing and being a parent. So this article there's two articles, and one is really a little bit more about the coreness of consciousness. And then I think this one's a little lighthearted. It gives us a little, like, tidbits of, like, to look at what we do and how it can be received by your child. That's conscious parenting too. And they always say that, you know, you can say things to your child, okay? And they, and I'm big on this too. I'm like, you know, and people, they will say things and you'll forget what they say, but they always say you'll remember the feeling that you had.
Mm-hmm.
But I say kids are really, really like little antennas where they pick up messages. You know, like, what am I, you know, they may be saying something, but I'm feeling something different. So they're really authentic kids. But this one article, going into that's where we're going to talk about some of the things of what we say and do. We want you to just kind of be taking a different awareness of how maybe a child is picking up that message. I think, too, someone once told me, you know, if mom and dad are sad and you're over there telling them, I'm not sad, I'm okay, the kid's like, something's not jiving here. You know, the kids are really intuitive, and this is kind of, I'm just giving tips of how, you know, to relate to your child, that sometimes, you know, they, you know, or you could just say, you know, no, mommy is not, you know, mommy is sad, but it, you know, I'll be all right. You know, it's just a way of relating to developing more of an understanding too of our needs emotionally. And, you know, and actually teaching our children in kind of a different way. I think we're really skill-oriented and expectation-based right now. I don't know if you agree, guys, but I just see the performance.
I agree, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I think our intention is to help any parent listening is maybe just to deepen, you know, the connection, or maybe helping, you know, again, just to help. Even as a parent, you know, when I say that, you know, it's okay to be human with your child, you know, it just deepens your relationship a bit. So I don't want to go too deep because I can go really deep. But so the principles of conscious parenting, and what they're saying is that, you know, today we're not going to tell you have to abandon all your parenting practices, by all means, no. But we're working together to bring a little bit of mindfulness. Very big on that word, mindfulness, to maybe we can understand behaviors a little bit different in our children and look at things just a little bit on a different angle. Okay, I'm going to let you guys take the floor so I can catch my breath here. Any thoughts? Anything you want to add?
Yeah, can you hear me, Sean?
Sure can, August. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. My perspective is different from both of yours in that my son was 26 when I lost him, but I saw him go out into the world to make his own way, and I saw some of the things that I could have done much better, but I also saw some of the things that I did well that I didn't very often give myself credit for. And being a PTA president, I had the honor of being a PTA president when Matt was in first and second grade, with about 800 members, and it was really an experience, mostly from the speakers that came in. And one of the turning points for me was I tended to do everything for him. I expected things of him, and if he couldn't deliver, then I would basically do it for him, so he would have the feeling of having accomplished, you know, a project or whatever he had done. And one of the speakers came in and said, one of the biggest problems we have in our youth today is that they don't learn consequences, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said, how many people are out at 9 o'clock at night on Sunday, this is before the stores were all open late, looking for poster board and crayons and glue because their child had a project due Monday morning and they had blown it off for a whole week. And now you're out there at 9 o'clock on Sunday night trying to gather up the materials so that they won't be embarrassed or they won't have to face a teacher and say, well, I didn't get it done because I just didn't pay attention. And that was a turning point for me. I started letting Matt face the consequences for his actions, and it made him much more responsible and much more aware that, you know, we have responsibilities, and if we don't take care of our responsibilities, there are consequences, and sometimes they can be serious. Sometimes they're not a big deal, but sometimes they can be serious. And that was a real eye-opener for me. That was a big change, because I had been one of those parents that would be out at 9 o'clock at night looking for stuff because he hadn't bothered to talk about the assignment he had a week earlier. Mm-hmm. So, like you say, mindfulness, awareness, these are all just tools that lead in the direction of where we want our children to go. And basically, we want our children to grow up and be happy, be productive, mm-hmm. and be, you know, be wonderful people. And
mm-hmm.
I had the honor of seeing that. And of all the things that I tried to teach Matt, I've always been a mechanic and electrician and welder and owned a body shop. And he really didn't care that much about it. I tried to teach him everything I knew about it. And as a child, he really didn't care much for food. There was only a half a dozen things he would eat. And he grew up to become an incredible chef at high-end restaurants. And that was his passion. That's what he loved. And I always encouraged him to do that, even though it was a totally different direction than I ever thought he would go. But it made him very happy. And
wow.
That was one of the things that I really felt good about, was that I encouraged him to follow his passion. This is before I ever became a coach or ever even considered it. And now I'm doing the same thing with my grandkids. I have a 12-year-old granddaughter and a 14-year-old grandson, and I'm watching them grow up, and I'm able to use what I've learned to encourage them and to help them find their way. Because at that age, they're, you know, there's so many choices out there that they can make, and they're not real sure. And I think the best thing we can do at that point is just encourage them to find what they really love and do it. And don't listen to other people saying, you know, you can't do that. That's not a real job. You can't make a living doing that. Follow your passion, because you're going to be successful. And that's what I've taken away from my parenting experience. It's been a real honor to be able to help with my grandkids as well.
Ah, beautiful. Beautiful, 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 beautiful.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, you touched on so many things. Where do I go from this? the big thing that I hear in, for parenting too, and you know, you said to let him follow his passion, and I truly believe every person, there's a uniqueness about all of us. You know, we all matter, and we all have an authentic expression. And, you know, I guess you said, you know, putting our parental expectations or, you know, these ideals sometimes that we, you know, what is the best, you know. But we forget, it's, you know, maybe we want our kids to be happy and good kids, good people. You know, that's kind of parenting.
Yeah.
That's parenting. All this other, I mean, I think this, you know, this conscious parenting, we're talking about the children, but I think it's really going to correlate, too, about, you know, parents out there, too, you know, just the some of these roles and expectations we put on ourselves or these beliefs that sometimes, you know, causes us not to enjoy our child as much as we could, too, you know? I completely, I love the fact that you're talking about, and I know I'm still, like, I'm at the golden parent. I occasionally run to CVS on Monday to get markers for my kid first project. I'm not perfect, but I get where you're going there, August. You know, there is something. You know, I had a little bit more version of tough love between me and my sibling growing up from my parents. But in that, when I stumbled. You know, maybe back in the circumstances of when I was like, nobody's supporting me, you know. But I found my inner strength sometimes in those moments. And I have such an appreciation for my parents for allowing me to experience that. But it's hard.
Hard. It's really hard.
And that's conscious parenting, you know. And I think there's not enough of that out there that, hey, folks, you know, the challenges in that when your child, you know, makes mistakes, that's where they find the depthness in themselves sometimes too. Yeah, so you touched upon some really awesome insight, wisdom, principles. Money, I know you probably have something. Would you like to share?
I'm that parent too that's gone back to school. You know, he forgets his homework, but honestly, I think every time that happened, like my son in middle school, when he first went to sixth grade, I feel like I was going back to school like almost every day because he forgot something, you know, some kind of homework. But
right.
I, you know, and there's that whole, like, because they say, at middle, you know, once you get there, they don't call the kid. Like if you drop stuff off, the kid has to know to come to the desk. Like they won't call them or, you know, they're trying to teach them stuff like that. But, you know, every time like I would go but I would say, what, you know, let's like talk about what the issue is here. Like, are you not writing it in your agenda? Are you not looking in your agenda? You know, it's not just letting them, maybe it is. I mean, but I guess I couldn't be that tough love of like just letting, not going back to school and then having them figure out a system to why they're, you know, why they're not getting their homework or bringing their homework home. But kind of talking about what was the issue as to why he was forgetting the homework. And so we kind of, and after the first 2 weeks of school, I mean, he didn't do it. And he's not doing it now. Like he's not, you know, he just finished his freshman year. So it's not like, I feel like there was a teaching in there and it was a maturity too. Like, and I think there has to be an understanding at that level. Like their brains are just not as developed. I mean, they're still not until they're like 27
yeah.
or something. So, you know, so they're not capable of doing what we would do either. You know what I mean?
I
feel like I can't
yes,
be that.
Yes.
Like, I never felt like I would be, and I wanted to instill the values of getting good grades. Like, he would have been upset if he couldn't do his homework, but it was something beyond him just being forgetful or lazy as to why he wasn't bringing it home, because he did figure it out. You know what I mean? And it didn't take that long. But I didn't let him fall on his face and have to be humiliated to not have the homework done. And I just couldn't. So I think it's also a little bit of not listening to what everybody else is saying as a parent or what you should do, and kind of going, you know, listening to your own intuition of what you feel is the best way to proceed.
And that's really important, too. That's really important to follow your intuition, because you know what's better for your children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what other people are like, well, you should do this, or just let them, don't pick up the homework, or you're a helicopter parent. I know I've been accused of being a helicopter parent, but I feel like, but my kids know I'm always there for them, but they're relatively independent. It's not as if they can't function. You know, my son now is like, Mom, I don't need you to, like, question what homework I'm doing or whatever. I'll get it done. And I'm really, you know, it's tough for me because he doesn't do things the way I do it. He procrastinates till the very last minute, you know, where I'm like, can you just get your summer reading done? You know,
well,
but he knows he has to do it. You know what I mean? And
right.
That's
right.
So
I have some you brought this up, and this is what came to me, and I'll share it with you, because it does, I think, too, what I'm going to talk about is about a parent, but how I'm going to talk about it relates to our education system a bit, too. You know, you're talking you know, when we talk to our children, or even, like, you know, some of the things that we're teaching them, we're, like, educating them. You know, as parents, we're almost educating them. It's almost like, I think we follow our education system. But I think sometimes, like, what's important is that there is a student there, our child, who's learning. You know, what we're saying to do. And money, you hit it. Like, he wasn't doing it. Because, you know, I think even with their processing, you know, we're processing. Even in the classroom of life, you know, with our children, too, and some of the, whether I said it, even if it's schoolwork or some of the things we do, you know, I never thought of that, but, like, you know, I look now and I always say something, my greatest teacher was my mother, whether I realize it or not. why was she my greatest teacher? Not that she educated me, but I learned, you know, I learned a lot about myself, about life through. So, it's maybe making that connection too. And I always, you know, that's why I always say with school, but that's me, you know, I'm an experiencer to learn, you know, that's how I learn very well. I can, you know, pull things and I need to touch and feel and be it, you know, but parent, you know, I think parents forget that, you know, and I have too, because I tell you, I'll start drilling my son too, because I think it's, I don't know if it's the expectations or what, maybe not as strong as connection, you know, because there's so much performance based. But yeah, I get into, you know, why is your home around? And again, money, you're right. I mean, it's just that's the consciousness where I, you know, okay, deep breath. In the big picture of all of this, you know, someone always said, and no matter what it is, I think on Duck Dynasty, I heard it the other day. I saw an episode of one of the characters was getting married, and one of them, the woman, her advice for him, she's like, in the marriage, just see the big picture. I'm like, oh, yes, key. But I don't know how that's set. But yeah, I forget sometimes, you know, and that's like, you know, putting the perspective back that, you know, the end of the day, it's all important, but again, we want that you know, that connection. It's hard, and we get sucked outside ourselves a lot. I don't know, Money, how did that resonate or not resonate, or thoughts?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, we just, the kids do follow by example, too. You're right. It's not so much what you say, but what you do, and they're learning from you, and you're learning from them, because, you know, they kind of point out all of your triggers too. And so whenever you are triggered,
yes, they do.
You know, it's really like they're your best teachers. So as much as you learn from your mom, it's, you know, you learn from your kids a lot too about yourself.
Oh, we do. And even the, you know, and I think, I guess we'll circle back to what you said, that sometimes folks, the struggles and the not so comfortable things that we don't like to experience, whether we realize it or not, they do learn. You know, mm-hmm. I've had less than stellar parenting moments, but I, you know, and vice versa. But you know, but we're learning, and I know we're getting close to. I want to touch upon, you know, some tips, I guess. You know, that, did you, I don't know if you guys got the other article about some things that we can just be mindful of talking.
Yeah.
Some of them, I was like, I never thought of that. and the big one, I'm the big culprit of it, is they're saying some things that, you know, when you say, you as a parent, you know, we're saying one thing, but sometimes what that, and it goes back to some what kids' message they may be picking up. For instance, they were saying as a parent, you know, in conscious, when we tell kids, great job, I do it all the time. And I'm like, my son plays hockey, comes off, great job, great job. And what they're saying is that there may be a different way of saying or expressing that because they want, you know, your child, you know, which is they show that tossing out if I can talk here. instead of focusing on the job per se, you know, be specific within, you know, say super game or, you know, in that game you did a, you know, that was a nice play. Because you're looking, rather than his, you know, you want to focus more on their motivation within what they're doing. Versus the end result. And that goes back to, I think we get pulled into the performance basis. Can you guys clarify that a little more, or what's your thoughts on that?
You mean to be more specific about exactly what you're saying? So, like, they just don't think that everything is a good, you know, everything they do is great? Is that what you're...
Yeah, well, they're saying instead of saying great job, you know, then your child is getting dependent on your affirmation of what they did.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You know, oh, mommy and daddy think I did a good job, you know.
Right,
but we
right.
really want
yeah,
to, you know.
I mean, I think it's like, yeah, to foster, I think we need to foster intrinsic motivation. I mean, that's what I, because I had, one of my son's friends, his parents used to give him rewards for if he scored a goal. And, you know, if you score a hat trick in this game, we'll buy you a new hockey stick, you know, that kind of thing. And I was like, God, you're never going to get a reward for doing well in a game. Like, the reward is you doing well in the game. That's your reward.
What you take from it,
like, you just trying your best, and, you know, on any given day, that's going to be different. You know, if you had a sleepover the night before, your best might not be the same, but that's...
Yeah,
and you play badly because you had a sleepover the night before, you know, that's the consequence. So maybe next time you know you can't do that. So...
Mm. Yummy.
You know, it's not and they've done studies on this where when you're getting rewards for doing something, the actual performance goes down because it's intrinsic motivation is what is sustainable.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And it really is putting the you know, you want them to focus on, you know, the coreness of what they've done, you know. I do think, like, you draw it out. Letting them own what they've done, whether it's a crappy game or an excellent game, you know.
Right.
I always say, I'm here for support. I try to remember that, you know. You know, mom's here to be in that stand. I'm present to watch your games. I'm there, you know. And I have to say kudos to my parents because they never would say anything. You know, they would. Some of the sports were in, and my brother even said that. You know, mom and dad never told me. My brother played competitive hockey, and my kids do too. He's like, you know, Sean, I would have a crappy game, and I knew I had a crappy game. And mom and dad would never say anything. They just didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They just didn't say anything. And Chris was responsible for that. You know, he knew that.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, and vice versa. You know, I don't think they, I mean, yeah, there's celebrations when you feel well. But, again, yeah, you letting, and he learned from that. He just brought this up. And I'm like, that's so profound, you know, in your at this age now. I know we're a little over time, but I want to get a couple more out here just to, and then we'll call it a day. I like this one. Practice makes perfect. And I do think there's truth to that, but I didn't ever, and this is for me, because consciousness, I was like, oh, I do think that's important, but they're saying too that, you know, it's not the, you're putting the emphasis on the skill instead of the will. And they're just like, you know, as parents, keep working hard. That you know, keep working hard at what you're doing. And that, I learned something from that because I never even thought of that. Because if kids, some kids be like, practice, and I'm still not the best at what I do, and they get frustrated. But again, pull it away, you know, if you're practicing, but I tell you what is important. And I just did this on an adult level coaching a girl. She was, you know, wanting to make changes, but not. And I said, you know, what's important is if you do it and it doesn't go your way, that you tried. You know, and the same thing with this. You can practice, but, you know, are you trying your best? That's what's important. You know, and I even tell my, now I've changed my phrase. I'm like, not go out there and get them. I'm like, just go do your best. You know, just do your best. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you what the best is. You know, and you try, you know, when you go out there, try your best. And that, if you, you know, that's what you can do. And that's what you walk away with. Any thoughts? I want to do one more. We'll do two more.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
This one, I'm going to put out there because I did witness this with my mother, and I do think it had some effect on me, so I wanted to share this. They said one thing that verbally, as a parent, do not say is, I'm on a diet. Interesting, and I know we don't talk, maybe we can have a whole other conversation about this, but I did see my mother struggle with dieting. Watching your weight, they say as parents, keep it to yourself. and I'm going to read this because we're out of time, but they say, if your child sees you stepping on the scale every day and hear you talking about being fat, she may develop an unhealthy body image. You know, it's better to say, I'm eating healthy because I like the way it makes me feel. These are some vibrations you're sending out to your children, so some everyday tips, I guess. You know, take the same tack with working out. I need to exercise can sound like a complaint, but, you know, you can say, it's beautiful outside, I'm going to take a walk. So these little students are listening, you know. And again, I survived, you know, my mother did say, you know, the dieting, I did pick up on that. Yeah, you know, there's just us ways of being conscious to ourselves that we can be, you know, also teach our children. Any thoughts on that, guys?
Very good advice. Very good advice. Mm-hmm. Don't build paradigms. We have enough.
Especially for girls, I think, too, it's, you know, that body image, like what's important, you know, because when you hear, like, and I do this, I mean, my daughter's 17, so she gets it, probably like, oh, my God, I'm so fat, like, you know, I you know, have to watch myself saying that because I know that she's going to take it in not the same way she would have when she was like 7, which I didn't say then because I didn't feel that way.
Right.
But they do, like, you know, I don't want them to think, you know, just get a warped body image or what makes a person valuable. I mean, that's what kids also take in from that is, you know, if I'm heavy, then I'm not attractive because that's the message that you're sending to when you say things like that. So I got to watch it.
Yeah. We're learning. We're
got to watch everything.
Wouldn't it be great to sit around? I mean, I said that there's more of them, too, of an openness, I think. You know, these conversations, we open it that we're human. You know, it's good. We're learning. This last one is kind of what Augustine, I think it's a great way to just wrap up today. And the one thing that I see the consequences of it. And I think we're going to see a lot more consequences of this. That's why, you know, we're helping. Let me explain. The thing they say is, as a conscious parent, be mindful about saying, let me help. August, you did share, and I'm going to read this, and I think it's a beautiful way to end it. They're saying, when your child is struggling to build, like, a block tower, a finish, or a project, okay, wherever we went with this, it's natural for parents to want to help, okay? And this is the world of helicopter parents. I get it. If you jump in too soon, you can undermine your child's independence because he's always looking for others for answers. I think,
correct.
You know, even the program that, you know, Money and I developed, it's called the Get Well Program. What we're trying to do is teach kids they're greater than anything outside themselves. You know, you want them to have those inner skills. And it correlates, you know, the children, they do get, you know, I don't want to say lost, but it, you know, if they're always looking for answers, then, you know, they're not relying on themselves. So there's a security thing. When you teach children, you know, it may suck, but you'll get through it, you know, or vice versa. So, yeah, if you can take a pause, take a deep breath, and just understand that sometimes, you know, I mean, obviously there's a balance, you know, when your child's really struggling, you can help them. But they're saying, you know, think of different ways of doing it instead of coming in and doing it. But, you know, we can ask them, well, what do you think you can do to change the situation? Or, let's give it a try. Encouraging, you know, before doing it. Encouraging is a great word because sometimes we forget that. But to encourage your child to try to take steps forward. So we're over time, so we will wrap it up, I guess. Thank you guys for being here. Anyone listening, if you want to talk, questions, comments, continue the conversation, feel free to look us up at wnylifecoaching.com, and we're at 716-560-6552. Have a wonderful day, you guys. Powers from within.
Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.